Hello, everyone! As a heads up, this episode has been divided into two parts. You are now listening to part two. If you haven't listened to part one yet, please go back and do so before continuing forward. We hope you enjoy.
So I really like that moment for that purpose, but then they do end up taking Loki back to the hovercraft thing, and they put him in this big cage that was meant for the Hulk, so it's a really, really tough cage to break out of. And of course, he's being very grandiose and dramatic still. He's talking to Nick Fury, just explaining, you know, you guys all want to be ruled by me, you just don't think you do, da, 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 all of that jazz. I'm real power.
Another iconic Fury yes, line. Well, let me know if real power wants a magazine or something.
That's just so great.
As he walks away too with his back to him.
And then we have even more iconic lines of like Bruce Banner being like, he really grows on you, doesn't he? And just, they're having this discussion about Loki and what to do, and then they all kind of break off into their different responsibilities, particularly Tony and Bruce end up working together to try to track down the Tesseract and see if they can find the Tesseract and Agent Barton and Dr. Selvig. But in this breaking up, we do actually see still that they are still trying to each go it alone a lot, and so that's causing more and more divisions between them. We see it in a kind of a humorous moment, but still it just shows where their attitudes are when Nick Fury says flying monkeys and Steve is like, I understand that reference, and Tony rolls his eyes about it. Like, it's just this little like, oh my gosh, so obnoxious, like just very disrespectful and just like not wanting to work on a team with him.
Struggling in this world, yes. And Tony just like has no cares about it.
Not at all. And so we see that, and then we also see when Bruce Banner is insulting Loki that Thor gets all upset about it. I mean, he kind of pulls back and is like, he's adopted. He's like, well, okay, but he's not
blood related
to me. He
killed 80 people in 2 days. He's adopted. He's adopted.
Again, so many great lines. But we do see like this little division there. It's not a big one, but it's just enough to kind of just...
They're just not on the same page. No. That's what I feel like. We're like, they're... Even, like, we all have the goal of stopping Loki, but everybody's still, like, kind of fighting their own mini battles.
Yeah,
and
they all still have slightly different agendas. Yeah. Like, you mentioned, they don't agree on things. Loki's team is all working from different agendas, even if they have a similar goal. Very similar with the Avengers to start with.
Yeah. Tony wants to uncover what S.H.I.E.L.D. is doing, and Thor just wants to get Loki out of there, and Cap wants to prove himself, and you know, they all like have these things.
Bruce just wants to get himself out of there.
Bruce wants to get himself out of there.
I don't want to be here.
That's real. Natasha just wants to get Clint back. Like, none of them are doing the same thing, and none of them really trust each other because they all know that they're doing different things.
Yes. Which is very poignant in thinking about the gathering of Israel, like how often our agenda's a little bit different. Like, I want to save my family. I want to save myself. I want to do this. I want to accomplish this and this and this. I want to be blessed this way. I want to be blessed this way. Without looking at that bigger picture of what we're actually fighting for, and that's worth it. That's worth all of our agendas, is to reach for what everything God has to offer. We continue to see the divisiveness as Steve and Tony have an argument about like what's appropriate. Steve's still very much in that soldier mindset. He will do what he's told. He does have a little bit of that, yeah, someone tell me what to do and I'll just do it, and I know how to do it well, and if I need to bend the rules a bit, I will if it's really needed, but I'm not going to seek out that as much. Whereas Tony's like, I don't believe anybody. I don't trust anyone.
I'll follow what somebody tells me to do if I already had the idea to do it.
And I need all of the information behind the scenes, even if they don't want to give it to me. Yes. So Tony's hacking into S.H.I.E.L.D. systems, trying to figure out all of the secrets that they're hiding and stuff.
Which, to Cap's credit, he does say, okay, Banner and Stark are like kind of on the same page with this. I'll go do my own investigation. I don't understand this computer stuff, but I can go break into this room and find out what's going on.
He does. And I love that he becomes the leader of the Avengers, and he's kind of the first one to be like, okay, even though this is maybe out of my comfort zone, I feel like he at least respects Banner.
Yes.
He has respect for Banner. And Tony Stark, he knows, is really intelligent.
Yes. And so if they're in agreement, then there's something to it.
Yes. And he's kind of like, well, you're probably right. And so he does use his own strengths and is like, okay, let me see what I can figure out using what I know and can do.
Yeah.
And so
he
see,
does start.
Yeah.
There's a reason he's captain, exactly, right? And he's the first one to try to make that move towards, like, unity a little bit more.
Yeah, and figure that out. So we have all that, and then they discover that S.H.I.E.L.D. has been working to make weapons with the Tesseract, and of course this is very dangerous. They would be highly developed dangerous weapons, and so there's this big argument breaking out about that and the appropriateness of that. Natasha goes off and manipulates Loki into informing her that he's trying to get the Hulk to wake up to ruin and destroy their plans and their team. So she's going in really concerned about Bruce and where he stands, and the way Loki's been talking has been manipulating Bruce to think a certain way. And so it's kind of this big mess. Again, everybody on different pages, leading to them arguing. And so they have this big argument. And this argument is really interesting. I feel like there's kind of a lot of things they say, like they're all talking over each other by the end of it, or they're like, at first it's kind of like one after the other really fast, and then it becomes just all of them arguing, which was very well done by the director, by the way. But the way that transitions,
I love the way it's a really impressive argument, especially leading into what comes next.
Yes. And with some of the lines are actually pretty poignant to different ideas and themes that are running through all of the Marvel films. One that stood out to me early on in that conversation, they asked Fury why he was making weapons of mass destruction with the Tesseract, and he says because of him, because of Thor, and Thor's like, me? And they talk about how, you know, he came in, he had this grudge match that leveled a small town, like it was a huge, people from outer space were just coming and attacking a village, like we needed to figure out how to deal with that. And it's interesting, Thor has a couple lines throughout this story. He has a little bit earlier, he's having a conversation with Coulson that he kind of brings it up, of just this idea that more knowledge means more danger, because more people recognize you as a threat as you gain knowledge. And I think that's a key, this is kind of a tangent but connected to the idea of Gathering of Israel, as far as Satan doesn't want us to understand things, because if we understand things, then we're more likely to choose the right, which means that in turn, as we gain more knowledge, Satan's going to work against us even more. And we start to see that amongst these guys as well, as in this movie and other movies, that the more knowledge they all have, the more their weaknesses show, which just allows them to grow. But it is kind of an interesting dynamic that Thor shows just by being from another planet and being part of that gaining of knowledge, which I really liked in this story.
It's an interesting concept. I try not to do it too often, but I kind of have this reflex whenever people in the gospel say, like, oh yeah, the gospel brings so much, like, joy, and life is so much easier when you follow the gospel. Like, those two things it kind of like triggers something in my mind automatically where I'm like, does it? Does it? Like, if you, I totally, like, the gospel certainly overall brings much more joy and certainly peace and comfort into our lives. I don't know. I think there are a lot of ways that, like, the gospel makes life a lot more difficult, and I think that's okay, and we shy away from that idea sometimes, because it's like, oh yeah, like, it'll, you know, share your yoke and your burden and all this stuff, but you're totally right, like, the adversary works against us as we strive to follow God, and so the more we're following God and the more faithful we are in that, the more we're going to be berated by challenges and temptations with him trying to bring us down. And I think a lot of times following the gospel makes for a more difficult and more stressful life. And like you've said, it's worth it, you know, like it's worth it in the end to fight that fight. And overall, again, I don't want to say like, yeah, life sucks when you follow God.
Yeah.
Like, overall, it, like, the commandments protect us for sure. I 100% believe that. And there is more joy in following God, and certainly peace. That's the biggest thing for me, probably. But yeah, it's just, I think it can be dangerous to fall into the trap of like, oh yeah, if I'm following the gospel, then I should just be happier. My life should be easy, because it's not gonna be. And then you can be discouraged and disappointed. And in my case, like, think, you know, what am I doing wrong? And what am I missing? And what do I need to make better? As opposed to, I'm doing things right, and this is just hard. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now I can't remember exactly what we were talking about. It made me think of that, but I know what you said. Yes. made me think of that idea.
No, yeah, that's great. Yeah, I just talked about how more knowledge means,
yes,
and understanding means more attacks.
Yes. It's a sign that you're doing something right.
Yes. That is a wonderful positive way to look at it. Remember, yeah, that in the moment.
Said than done.
Yes, yeah. You'll still probably be a little upset or just struggling, yeah, but
which is allowed.
Yes, allowed. But it gives you a reason to keep going and just hope that eventually things will improve.
Yeah, it's easier than why is this happening to me and what am I doing wrong and, yes, what's wrong with me. Mm-hmm. It's easier than
or
those
not
thoughts.
Being a part of the gospel and being like, yes, oh, I'm alone in this.
It's
and
not
what's
worth
the
it.
Purpose? Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so this, like you were saying, I'm so glad that you said it, because I was just like, it's kind of a funny thing to say, but I was just in awe of like how well done this argument, yeah, was. Because it's not even like nobody's like screaming and shouting. It's literally like milling about. Like, it could not even be an argument. It could just be like a large gathering of people making a lot of noise. They're, mm-hmm, all just kind of like talking to a couple people and like all these different conversations and just chattering. And it's super interesting, we as the viewers see during this argument that Clint is mounting an attack.
Yes.
But they're all like busy in this little room, ignoring everything important going on, like arguing over nuances and who cares what. And mm-hmm. I mean, it's hard because the weapons, like, it's a big deal.
Yes.
It really is, but it's not what matters.
It's not the immediate problem that, yeah, they should be focusing on.
Yeah, which is actually a whole other interesting discussion of like focusing on what actually matters.
Yeah, it's true.
But that's not our gospel principle. And so we see this division among them and this lack of being on the same page allow Clint, honestly, like painfully easily, to come in and just shoot the place.
Yes.
And destroy this ship. Yeah, so we see everything go south and nobody's even kind of ready for it. And it's interesting that Loki's plan hinges on Bruce becoming the Hulk, because the Hulk is mindless and will turn against anybody. It's like his whole plan hinges on this really important division. He knows that everybody is kind of like fighting internally, and so they're not paying attention, and he can use that to get the person who will turn completely against them. And that's what will make them
in a
fall
dangerous
apart.
Way.
In a dangerous
not
way.
Not only does he turn against them, but he's also the Hulk.
Right, right.
Which is
big
terrifying.
And scary and,
yeah,
violent. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then there's the fact that Clint is the one mounting this whole attack, and he's the one who knows them and has turned against them. Like, yeah, Loki's whole plan hinges on people turning against the team, and yeah, and especially particularly the Hulk, but
yes,
but that one's easy too, because he's the one who he can get to turn against them. But so it's just, yeah, it's this, when we're divided and not gathered together and not focusing on gathering each other, that Satan can kind of get in there and do what he wants and really turn us against each other. Take it from just not being on the same page to fighting with each other. But I do love, on the other side of things, once they're actively being attacked, they all team up instantly. And we have like Cap and Iron Man are actually getting seriously heated, yes, right? And Cap is like, put on your suit. Like, we'll go see who wins a fight between the two of us. He's like ready. Captain America is ready to go. He's ready to go. And Iron Man is, you know, he's always snarky, but he's not responding to the to the fight, thankfully. But so Captain America goes, put on the suit, and Iron Man says something. He's like, put on the suit, and Iron Man says something, and then they get blown up, and Captain is like, hey, put on the suit.
Yes.
And Iron Man is like, yeah. And I love that. It's this like immediate switch and focus, and it's like we're struggling with each other, but I know that these people here ultimately want the same thing as me, and so we're able to band together and come together when the battle really calls for it. Another quote from that "The Lord Needs You Now" talk, M. Russell Ballard says, remember, we are at war, but not a war of guns and bullets. Nevertheless, the war is real, with countless human casualties. And I was just thinking about, like, Christ tells us all the time to always be ready, right? There are multiple parables about like be watching and be ready, and we can't do that when we're fighting against each other. Like, we have to be focused on gathering and not division. And maybe that's not a great analogy, like, necessarily with the gathering of Israel. But the gathering of Israel happens on all levels, right? Yeah. It starts with mm-hmm. ourselves, and then within the gospel, and then people outside of the gospel. So I think it is mm-hmm. an important aspect of it. But they forgot that they were at war in that moment, and they just kind of assumed that they were safe and that they had time for this. And we sometimes forget that we're at war in this moment, right now. If there's something that Satan can do to get you to let down your guard and let him in, he's going to, mm-hmm. no matter where that comes from. And he's doing it to the person next to you as well. And that's why we all need to be ready and to be on that same page and trying to get other people on the same page right along with us.
Mm-hmm. And I like too, we had already discussed a little bit about how their fight earlier in the woods was kind of giving them an opportunity to get to know each other mm-hmm. and build up that teamwork. And then I think even when Captain America goes and finds the weapons and comes back, like, Tony and Bruce end up finding this information that they confront Fury with, and then Steve comes in and brings the added extra thing that the computer hadn't figured out yet mm-hmm. of what phase 2 actually is. And so they're already kind of in that moment, like, being a team a little bit, not necessarily with all of the best
feelings.
They're
a micro team.
Yes, exactly. Like, they're starting to get there. And so when they do get attacked, even though they were just arguing, they have these other seeds that have been planted that they're able to water and build on a little bit more in that moment. And so I like that. Obviously, we're in a fallen world, and we're going to have moments where we are in contention with someone else. It may be in a very mild way, like someone at the store or on the road, or it could be in a much more serious way. And we let our emotions and our egotism and egocentrism get the better of us. But as long as we're making sure every moment we can, we're creating those seeds and learning from those experiences that, like in the talk, I was reading that each difficult interaction being an opportunity to learn to love each other at a deeper level. As long as we're taking those difficult interactions and learning from those and hopefully creating better interactions from them, we're going to be able to create situations where we can unify a lot faster than we would have in the past if we didn't take those opportunities. So I think it's important that we remember the gathering of Israel is not just about all of the time being unified. We want to get to that point, but it's not going to be possible because we're imperfect.
It's still an idealized version.
Exactly. Yeah. But part of the gathering is training ourselves to trust each other just a little bit more and more and more, and learn to be on the same page, that divine, eternal page, a little bit more closely and strongly each day as well.
I really like that idea. And I think we can apply it even bigger than at least I am in my head right now, where, like, I struggle with this sometimes and have been called out on it and haven't loved it. But, you know, it can be easy sometimes to have that, like, us versus them mentality, right? And we want to gather, but, like, if they're not being gathered, then they're them a little bit. But I like this idea of, like, sowing what seeds you can, even if you're not perfectly on the same page. And I think I often say in, like, political stuff, you know, when I'm trying to, like, mediate and, like, see both sides, one thing that I say a lot is that I really think that most of us are just trying to do what's best for everyone else. I really do. Mm-hmm. You know, most of us want what's best for everyone else, and we just have different ideas of what that looks like. Mm-hmm. And that's certainly true of the Avengers as well. Like, obviously, they all want what's best for everyone. Yeah. And so I think recognizing that apply, like, most everyone outside of the church or outside of Christianity or outside of whatever group you're a part of wants what's best for someone else. And that, if that's your seed, then why not? Like, that can be your seed, and anything in common and anything leading towards that goal, those are seeds that we can work on watering and come together to fight bigger problems. If that makes any sense.
That's really good. Yeah, I love that. I think often we think the gathering of Israel is being like, we are converting people to the gospel, we are making everybody an active member of the church. And that's part of it, but that's coming from places of little, like we said, seeds of building upon what we can to unify ourselves with other people within the bounds of the gospel, obviously, and right. working through the teachings of Jesus Christ to accomplish that. Anything we can do is part of Gathering Israel. Anything connections and positive interactions we can have is part of Gathering Israel, which is just much more encouraging. Like, it makes me feel like I can do a lot more than I thought I could before, knowing that it is little things that create the Gathering of Israel in the long run.
Actually reminds me of a meme that someone showed me. I think it's from Infinity War. Okay. I was like, oh yeah, that meme idea fits perfectly. And then I was like, wait, it's Avengers too. It's double perfectly.
Even more perfect.
When it was in 2020 when coronavirus was like nutso, right? Top peak, a friend of mine showed me this meme. I'm going to remember it wrong, but I think it was the shot with like everyone, right? Epic shot. Everybody's fighting and like running at the enemy, right? And so it had like on all of the Avengers and the Wakanda soldiers and like every it said it had these groups. It was like Christians, Muslims, blah, blah, this and that. It was like all of these different, I don't think it was LDS, so I don't think it said like whatever, but it was like lots of different religious groups and then a couple of other groups and everything. And then on the other side was coronavirus. and it was this idea of like coming together in like fasting and prayer and just, you know, as much unity as we could during COVID and lockdown, but coming together in all the ways that we could to fight against like everything that was going on. And it was kind of a funny one, just a cute unifying gathering idea, right? Where it's like, we have our differences and our opinions, but it was that moment, right? The battle moment, like when it mattered, when we were all being hit.
Yes.
That it was like, okay, it's all time to come together and act together.
Yeah. And build on those.
Yeah. And that's just what we need to be striving to do more often and not when the engine is exploded.
Yes. Ideally.
Not just when the engine is exploded, I should say.
Ideally always. So they have this big fight. Thor is fighting Hulk and Natasha goes and fights Clint and Steve and Iron Man are starting to get this engine rolling again and stuff. Then Thor goes and fights Loki and Loki ends up sending Thor down in the cage that was meant for Hulk. Loki's able to get out. And during that interaction, Agent Coulson shows up and ends up being stabbed by Loki and does pass away, unfortunately. And this is a really interesting moment because his dying words are basically, we needed something that would unite them. That's basically where he's going. He dies mid-sentence, but he does say we needed something that would get them to. And so they're all mourning his loss and it's really sad. Tony's particularly hit because he actually knew Coulson pretty well.
One particular line that stood out to me, I love that Coulson is like the biggest fan of the Avengers.
Yes.
That's one of my favorite things about him. He's like, so, man, talk about a dude excited to go to work every day. Like, he's such a nerd about the Avengers. Yes. And so the fact that he's like so willing to die so that they can do something heroic, honestly, is just beautiful. But anyway, so the line that I really love, Loki, he's such a monologue-y dramatic villain. Like, it might be the reason he loses all the time.
He just keeps talking about it.
But, so he, like, allows Coulson, this random guy, to engage him in this conversation. Because Loki's so, he's so self-assured that, like, Coulson is no threat, right? he's so above him and he's already dying. And so he's like, you know, it doesn't matter that he has this giant weapon pointed at me and he's still conscious. Like, he's not a threat, whatever. And so Loki, he says specifically, your heroes are scattered. Your floating fortress falls from the sky. Where is my disadvantage? And I don't necessarily have, like, any profound thoughts on that. I just love that he, like, actually used the word scattered. Like, Loki's whole goal. Mm-hmm. He really is just such a perfect Saiyan archetype in this movie. Like, his whole goal is to scatter and divide. And they're the scattered tribes and they are not working together. And they are more than he realizes at this point.
Yes.
But
but
he's like, yeah, everything is like your heaven is descending and your heroes are scattered and nothing is going your way. Where's my disadvantage? But it's also beautiful us knowing that like we're already on it. Like, mm-hmm. Natasha is changing Clint, and we're getting the engines up and going again because of everyone's love for each other, yes. and willingness to fight with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and continue to gather, you know, Natasha's like going to the other side and bringing Clint back. Mm-hmm. And so we see it in multiple ways. Iron Man and Captain gathering themselves to each other, and Natasha going to the other side and gathering somebody who's fallen. And yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh. It's so true. And it's a really good show of how Loki's plan actually did the opposite of what he meant it to do.
Hmm.
Like, they were already not agreeing, having a hard time being unified, but this attack forces them to realize that they need to be unified.
Right.
And to do what they can to make that happen. Whereas after this, we have the big fight scene, and all of a sudden they really are working as a team. We have Cap leading the way and telling them what to do, and they're all like, even Tony is like, okay, like, I'll be where you tell me to be and, like, add my own flair to it or whatever. But, like, they all immediately after that are, like, now really unified in a way they wouldn't have been if they hadn't been attacked.
Yeah.
Like that. Like, they would have gone into the final battle. First of all, they might not have been there on time.
True.
In a timely manner.
They might have missed it.
And secondly, they also just probably wouldn't have been as prepared to listen to Cap's orders and to do what they can to be in communication with each other and work hard that way if Loki hadn't done this. So really, he just kind of caused his own downfall, which I think Satan does in a lot of ways as well. Just that very, like, so sure of himself and thinks he knows what he's doing. It's like with the Garden of Eden. Like, yeah. He's like, yeah, eat the fruit. And everybody's like, yeah, that's literally the plan. Thanks, Satan.
Idiot.
Dummy.
Idiot, dumbhead. As our siblings.
Yeah, exactly. Just yeah. Completely his own worst enemy without realizing it.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah, I didn't think about that watching it, but I really mm-hmm. love that concept, because it's because Clint is there on the ship that we then have Clint providing really, really vital, like, eyes and ears to everybody mm-hmm. throughout the whole battle. It's because Captain America and Iron Man are forced to work together that we get one of my favorite lines too at the final battle. Iron Man says, call it, Cap. Like, yeah. Iron Man calls on Captain America yep. to call out everybody's assignments, which he wouldn't have done no. before they worked together on this engine stuff and, like, really gain the ability to trust each other in that crucial moment.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And they learn each other's strengths as well in yes. that moment. So he like knows, he's like, Captain America is a way better leader than I am. Like, yeah. No matter what, I like being bossy and doing my thing, but, like, he knows in that moment, like, Captain's going to be the best one to lead us and organize us strategically and all of that jazz.
Captain America, too, learns, actually, this is probably the one thing I would change about the movie. Mm-hmm. Captain America learns that Tony is willing to make sacrifices and do what it yes. takes, because he doesn't mm-hmm. really trust Tony before that yeah. to do that, but he sees in this, like, survival mode that Tony is actually the most self-sacrificing person on this team, yes. honestly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he starts to see that. And my biggest complaint about this movie is that that never gets addressed, actually, because mm-hmm. Cap specifically mm-hmm. calls enough. Him out, like, it's all about style for you, and you don't care, and you're not the kind of person to put yourself on the line. And Tony, like, so is that kind of person, and yeah. Cap sees that, and, like, it's fine. I know that Captain America is humble enough to recognize that, but I wish that there was just the even the smallest yeah. acknowledgement. Mm-hmm. Just all I needed was just a word, you know, but just something between yes. Cap and Iron Man to show that acknowledgement of, like, no, like, we're cool and yeah. I get you.
Yeah, but, I agree.
But yeah, so cool. But I agree. They learn about each other and build that with mm-hmm. Recognize each other's strengths, like yes. you said. Yeah.
And I think that's so key to why we're organized into, like, wards and stakes, is it gives us a chance to understand who's on our team and in our area and who yeah. can work with us in different right. ways. Like, I think there's a value in our callings being not just opportunities for us to serve in the ward, but also opportunities for us to connect with other people and understand their strengths so we can better work as a team in yeah. gathering Israel in our area. So think about that as you're fulfilling your callings as yeah. well. I think that's a really important thing to remember.
And reasons why no calling is above another one, yes. right? Mm-hmm. Like, if somebody's better at leadership, that doesn't mean that a leadership calling is better than another calling. It means yes. that that person is a good leader.
Yes, exactly. Like,
and that's all.
You wouldn't
say good.
Captain America is more important than Thor or Iron Man.
Because that would be silly.
Yeah, that would be stupid.
And wrong.
Like, he's just the leader because he has skills that allow him to do that.
He's
but the
amazing.
Others have skills that allow them to also be
to
a, part
do other
of,
things.
A major part of the fight. Yeah.
Yeah. Captain America, yeah, he couldn't have done honestly any of the other things that anybody else did.
Yeah, like Thor is able to, he's the most powerful.
Call
on
down
the team.
Lightning.
Like, yes, he literally can do a lot of damage. We have Tony, who's really good at technology, and so he's able to catch the nuke that's coming in a way that the others probably wouldn't have been able to, because Fury knows that he can connect with Stark, that Stark can fly, and that he'll be able to strategize really fast and figure out a solution because he's a problem solver. Whereas Thor, even though he can fly, he wouldn't have been as easy to contact and as easy to like understand what's going on. Like, he doesn't know about Earth stuff.
I love that moment when Fury is like, Stark, there's a missile coming, and Stark is like, how soon?
Yes.
It was like a what do you need moment. Like, I was like, oh wow, like, he didn't question where did this missile come from, what is it, what's happening. He said, how soon? I got it, I'm flying it away.
Like, the man who needs all the answers could have done that. Knows in the moment, like, this is not the time to ask.
It does not
We're
matter
gonna figure this out. We gotta take care of this.
The last thing that I really really love about this is the last quote that I'll bring up from this movie.
I love it.
Where Clint, so Clint is the eyes and ears, right? And he tells Tony, so Tony has said, like, we're not soldiers. I'm not a soldier in his fights with Captain America, right? He does not identify with that. That's not him. He does his own thing. The one thing he never denies that Cap says is, you're all about style. Like, because he knows it.
Yes.
But so he's communicating with Hawkeye, and Hawkeye says these alien, I don't know if it's the aliens or the machines, the writing, whatever, they have a hard time banking, so they're not great at making really sharp turns. So he's like, so find a really sharp corner to take. And Tony goes, I will roger that. And it's just this funny random little, like, he knows what he's supposed to say. He knows he's supposed to say roger that, but he can't just say roger that. And I love, there actually, I think there is a beautiful lesson here. Like, you know, he has to put his own spin and flair on it, and he can't like fully just like,
he's like, I'm doing this because I'm choosing to do this, not because you told me
and
to.
I'm gonna do it my own way.
Yes.
and in my own time. I will roger that.
Yes.
But I think there's a beautiful lesson about like maintaining our own personalities. Mm-hmm. Like, Captain America is a conformist. Like, he took, well, most of the time, but we do see him break out of that sometimes too. But Tony is so anti-conformity. Like, he's gonna look his own way, he's gonna do his own way. Like, everything is his own way, but still guided by his moral code, right? And so we have this moral code, we have these eternal laws. But, like, gathering doesn't mean one of us, you know? It doesn't, it's not hive mentality. It's, we all still get, you know, we've talked about strengths and that's awesome, but along with that is our own personalities. We're allowed to have our own personalities and our own interests. Obviously, you and I are here talking about the gospel and the Avengers.
Yes.
Like, and it just adds so much to it, because if Tony didn't have that, then there's a chance he wouldn't be a flying robot in the sky connected to technology that can respond to this situation that nobody else could have, you know. And our, you know, our personalities and our differences lead to our strengths, and sometimes they just lead to other cool stuff, you know. It doesn't have to be anything other than like connection and cool moments and interesting opportunities, you know, that are gonna happen because of us as individuals. And Tony just exemplifies that so much, and I just loved that line, and I love that.
I love that too. I'm like, the gathering wouldn't even be possible if we were all the same. Like, I'm just imagining, like, if they were all Captain America, they wouldn't have won. They all needed their different strong. And it would be a boring movie. That is very true. Like, a bunch of Captain Americas fighting aliens. Cool, but a lot cooler when there's also lightning and other things involved. Yes. But even, like, if all of them were Thors, there would be a lot they didn't understand about the nuke coming in. Yeah. And if they were all Iron Man, like, there's a lot of things he wouldn't have been able to do and accomplish, and ways of getting the word out to, like, the police officers. Like, they wouldn't have even thought of that.
Yeah,
like,
he's the one on the ground and staying on the ground and willing to bring, he's the one most willing to, like, recognize the ability of just the common person, you know, because he is that guy. He's a common person and he knows what that's like. And he recognizes that all of these guys on the ground want to help and can do something and nobody else could do that.
Exactly. So I'm like, the gathering is so much more successful when we are ourselves while also being guided by those principles. And it's a lot more exciting and entertaining to watch as well and be a part of when life we can be embrace fun. That. Yes.
It can be it can fun. Be fun.
It won't always be fun.
No.
It will
no.
not always be fun. But it
which
can
be. Which is
why
we should look for the fun moments. Enjoy which is those. Why we're sitting here talking about the gospel and the adventures. Because this
it
is fun.
It all connects. We love it.
Going back to we, like, mentioned the nuke being let off, but we didn't talk about kind of the circumstances behind that. So what we have going on here is there's this mysterious council. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't actually know what it is.
Yeah. But I think they're just the heads just of S.H.I.E.L.D.
S.H.I.E.L.D. heads. Okay, yeah. That makes sense. So, yeah, I forget that they're part of, like, secret government organization. But so this council is like, they can't do it. We need to control the situation. We're going to nuke the place. And Fury is like, that's Manhattan. I am not going to give the order to nuke Manhattan while I have a team out there fighting. And they're like, no, they can't do it. We scrapped the Avengers initiative. This is not worth the risk, right? And I love that Fury, like, just over and over again, and not even just in this moment, like, there are multiple times throughout the movie, he just expresses his faith in them. And he says, like, until I know they can't hold the city anymore, like, I'm not doing this. I'm not going for it. And obviously he gets overridden, but which is why we have the nuke. But I just think it's really cool that Fury, like, continues to put his faith in these people. He's seen, they fought against him, you know, he's seen them fight each other, he's seen them turn on him, but he knows what they're fighting for and he sees their potential to come together. And I just love that idea as, well, I'll start with, like, as God, you know, God knows that we're imperfect people and he's seen us turn against each other and he's seen us turn against him. He's seen all of us rebel against him in different ways, but he continues to trust us to gather his sheep and work through us and give us the tools and the direction that we need in the same way Fury does to bring all of them together so that they can work together to fight this common enemy. And I think we can do it too, you know. God shows us through his example, and we see that in Fury of how we can trust other people and ourselves even though we see so much imperfection and so much struggle. And and we've talked about this in our ward context, right? About the idea of trusting each other to make mistakes, but still make it work and still do good work despite the failures and the effort. And because the line is going up overall, even if there are little divots, like, it's going up, and we just need to trust each other to do that. So yeah, I wanted to get that one last thing in there about how much I appreciate Fury and his willingness to give them the chance that they need to prove themselves. And it pays off, just like it can for us.
Yes. I love that. My last note is actually after the final battle when he is talking to them, the same council, and they're like, where's the Avengers now? And he's kind of like, you know what? I think they deserve a leave of absence. I think they're fine. And actually the quote I have is from after that, he's talking to Agent Hill, and she kind of brings up some similar concerns of, like, what if we need them again? What do you think? Like, shouldn't we be tracking them at least? Kind of a thing, which is what the council was kind of saying. And she says, what makes you think that they're going to be here if we do need them again? And Nick Fury just immediately is like, because we'll need them too. Like, he knows that they have those desires to be a part of the saving work that S.H.I.E.L.D. does and that they need to do as they need to do it. And so I love that you brought up, within God's kingdom, we just need to be willing to trust each other to have our own journeys and to make even small differences that can be magnified by God. I think especially within leadership in the church, it becomes really easy for people to be like, oh, they're not a very good leader, or oh, I don't like that they said this or did this, forgetting that God clearly trusts them enough to put them there. And even if they do mess up, clearly God had a reason for putting them there and that he needed them to play that role for some reason that maybe you didn't see, and maybe all you saw was the bad that came out of it. Don't forget that there was probably good that came out of it that was worth it to God, and it should be worth it to you, even if you don't necessarily agree with all of the decisions made by someone. That doesn't mean condone their mistakes or anything like that. Obviously, everybody's imperfect still, but realizing that there's still good to be had is what is key to gathering Israel, is that there's still good to be had from us reaching out and doing good, making connections and helping people, and also from us trusting other people to be able to do their own bit as well. I wish I had been able to remember to look at this talk a little bit more and pull out even more quotes, because it was really, really a great talk. But something that I do want to end with is describing how we can gather Israel that I think is reflected a lot in what we've talked about. Sister Runya says, "It's the Savior's work to bring our loved ones back. It's his work and his timing. It is our work to provide the hope and a heart they can come home to." She then goes on to say, "And when they pass to the other side of the veil and draw close to that loving gravitational pull of their heavenly home, I believe it will feel familiar because of how they were loved here." And I loved that idea. Just to say love again. The way we love people here should be in accordance with the way Christ loves, because that's what's going to prepare them to meet God in the next world and to meet Christ. Even if they don't fully understand here, like none of us will, showing that Christ-like love is what's going to help unify us the best. And I think we all, I know I can do a lot better to remember that in my day-to-day experience, that that is the true foundation for everything we should be doing here. So any last minute thoughts, Kariana, on any of that?
Oh, I'm good.
Okay. Thank you for listening in. We hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget to subscribe and like or give a review depending on where you're watching/listening. We hope you also will follow us on Instagram, as we would love to see you over there. We have a lot of great things going on there, at God in All Things. Also, if you want to see what I'm reading just casually, you can check out my other channel, Good Strong Words, on YouTube. I have a lot of fun over there. And I think that that will do it. So thank you again so much for watching, listening. We hope you are having a wonderful week. Keep remembering to see God in all things, and we will see you next time. Bye.
Bye.